feel the same. I actually think that for me, it's not really a challenge because I don't know what I can do about it. It's actually that, and I don't know whether it's stronger for me because we have only postgraduate cohorts, and within each MA we might have as many as 12 nationalities, but also people that have different, are at different points in their lives. So you could have somebody who's come straight from university, somebody in the mid-40s who wants a career change, so they are different kinds of people. And so you've got two groups, actually three groups of people, of students. The ones, the younger ones tend to be, who live on Facebook. The ones who have an account, don't really use it, so because you're creating a group on the module or the MA, they feel they have to join, but they're never really on there. And the ones who just, you know, don't like it, refuse to engage with it. Actually, they are the minority, but, you know, there is someone who doesn't have an account and is not going to create one because you're going to share links about articles. And so, in a way, is to what extent... I mean, you have to remain aware that I don't think that kind of engagement can completely substitute other kind of sharing and engaging, because not everybody will benefit from that equally. It is their choice, ultimately. So that's what I'm saying. I don't know that I can force them. I wouldn't want to. But I am also very aware that there will be a third of my cohort who really engages with debates and who really... you know, uses their links, because I would then see sort of examples from the papers or the articles that I've posted coming up in essays.
The situation with teaching is really tricky at the moment, what kind of platforms and technologies to use. And I think the one-year cohort raises particular problems. So the traditional approach to learning technology is that the institution creates a contained platform which tells the students what to use, how to do things, and everything like that. That may work when you've got students for 3 years, although increasingly they're coming along, they've got their own tools, they've got their own ways of doing things, and they don't really want to use your, frankly, outdated, clunky piece of technology. And they're quite happy to update quite often as well, as their friends update. And of course, they don't want to be locked into an institutional system that excludes their friends from other institutions or whatever. That's always been a problem here in trying to get students to adopt technologies that we're providing.
I found I've been running a teaching blog this year, and I found that's a good way to kind of, it's the same thing though, you've always got the ones that are going to check it and are going to use it, and the ones that, you know, just won't engage with it. But I found that's a good kind of halfway between not being too kind of ambivalent about using Facebook for teaching purposes, but it's a good platform for engaging them in ways that you might not traditionally be able to do beyond the kind of the classroom. So
I think the Facebook, because we had long discussions among the colleagues at the centre, because, you know, something supported by advertising, there's a marketing element, we don't quite know what people do with information. I think for us, the thing is that the majority of them are already on there.
Yep.
So sometimes for something as silly as a changing room in the classroom, I could email them and hope they read their email, you know, before they come to class. Or I can Facebook them saying, guys, it's been a change of room. Can you please let, you know, the people who don't check Facebook regularly know? And within 30 seconds, somebody will click, you know, a few of them will click like, and I know a message has gone out.
It's hard. So it's hard to get them to adopt other platforms when they're so... Facebook is so much part of their life and how they do things. It's so deeply embedded in their workflows and their behaviour. At the moment, of course, after the great Facebook disaster of 2013, we're all now predicting it's all going to go bad.
Oh, right, okay.
But anyway, I mean that's really, really tricky. The good news is, though, that, I mean, talking of the great Facebook disaster, people are moving away from those kind of systems to systems that put them in control. When you start using an iPad heavily and start using the tools, the very sort of diverse range of tools, and assembling this sort of kind of very personal research environment, your own tools, you like to own your content, and you don't want to have to go off to the Facebook website and look at those adverts and all that stuff, and the content becomes more interchangeable. That was just an ideal a few years ago, but it's actually starting to become more real now. So I can connect the stuff on my device or devices, more like, with the stuff on your devices, even though you may be using a different system. And there may be a very thin intermediary, like Twitter. People like Twitter because it's a very lightweight, thin intermediary. You don't have to commit to too much. So, but things are changing fast, and it's a very dynamic situation. Hard to predict.
And also, I don't know whether you've noticed this, and maybe I'm just being paranoid, but I think there's also a generational divide. So people my age prefer Twitter, but if you are, you know, in your 20s, you prefer Facebook. I've had many debates with my students because they can, when they write the dissertations on Facebook and they're talking about it as, you know, the dominating social network. And I said, yes, but for whom? Because I think there is a bit of a... So I think also there's a reason why we prefer Twitter,
This is a very dynamic situation. Facebook came very quickly, and expect things to change dramatically in the next couple of years as new devices cut Facebook out of the picture.